Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Wednesday edition of the show. It's Wednesday, so guess what that means? It's Wednesday. We're going to dive into the Eagles. You know, it's still for now the franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz, but after hearing Doug Peterson today kind of be hesitant about Carson starting on Monday against the Seattle Seahawks, he did eventually confirm it, but kind of discussing how that is a tough decision this team needs to look at now, considering it's a possibility, is something to keep an eye on, because Doug, throughout the season, as bad as Carson Wentz has been, has not really entertained the idea of benching him for Jalen Hurts. So we're going to get into it. Is Carson Wentz going to play on Monday? Is he going to get benched this season? What's happening at the quarterback position moving forward? We're going to dive into that today. Yesterday, I defended Doug Peterson, kind of went after Howie Roseman and also Carson Wentz. I think the percentage of blame the last 2 weeks has been way too heavily in favor of Doug and Howie Roseman more so than Carson Wentz, because Carson Wentz has been getting insane criticism for the last 5 years, and that's just par for the course in Philadelphia for a quarterback. But Howie Roseman especially has kind of gotten away with, you know, not taking as much of the blame for this 2020 disaster. And maybe a part of it is because he doesn't really meet with the media during the season. So you can check out that episode or Geno's recap of the Eagles' 22-17 loss to the Cleveland Browns on Monday. Those two episodes are available on any podcast platform. We got today's show to do, Wentz Wednesday, and then we're going to take tomorrow off for Thanksgiving, and then we'll be back with another episode on Friday as we get you ready for the Eagles' Monday night battle. I don't know if it's going to be much of a battle, but they have a game on Monday against the Seattle Seahawks, who they've not beaten ever with Russell Wilson at quarterback. By the way, I do apologize. My voice is a little hoarse today, so, you know, bear with me. And it's probably going to get even worse considering who we have to talk about today. And that's the shell of what used to be a top-tier quarterback in Carson Wentz. The top-tier MVP in 2017, the quarterback that can improve in almost every statistical category with a broken back in 2018, the quarterback that last year could elevate a practice squad skill position group in 2019 to four straight wins and an NFC East title. That guy looks gone. He looks like a shell. Carson Wentz looks like a shell of what he used to be, and maybe not even a shell. That shell might be completely shattered after what I saw on Sunday against Cleveland and what we've seen for the majority of the games this year, at least 70% of the games. You know, I was holding on to the glimpses of what we saw the old Wentz. We kind of saw him against San Francisco this year on Sunday Night Football. We kind of saw it against two damn good defenses, two perennial Super Bowl contenders, maybe more so Pittsburgh now than Baltimore, but two potential Super Bowl contenders with the Steelers and the Ravens, and I'm holding on to hope because you saw the old Wentz in there in those games, but the sample size week in and week out is becoming too big now to deny that Carson Wentz looks completely awful. Removing, you know, you can blame Doug Peterson. He's a huge part of it. He's a huge reason why Wentz is now in the state that he is. So is Howie Roseman. So is the lack of talent around him on offense. So has been the injuries, the catastrophic amount of injuries, not just this year, but the last 3 years. All of that is 100% correct. But Carson Wentz in a vacuum right now, regardless of any outside factors, is terrible. He is not a good quarterback. Even if you put him in a great system right now, if you put this Carson Wentz in there, he is not a good quarterback. And so we can't, although it's justified all these reasons, you know, that I'm talking about, we cannot continue to deflect blame on, you know, every time we bring up Carson Wentz. You can't just say it's because of Doug Peterson. You can't just say it's because of Howie Roseman. Even though a lot of it's true, Carson Wentz himself, with factors that only he can control this year, has not been good enough. in the last 2 weeks, especially. Look, you guys have heard me on the podcast with Geno all season defending Wentz because, again, it's a four-year sample size versus, you know, it was 3 games, it was 5 games, it was 6 games of struggles this year. But we didn't want to focus on that compared to 4 years of top-tier quarterback play. But for me, more so than Geno, the last 2 weeks I haven't even really tried to defend him. Because the last 2 weeks I've seen what Doug Peterson has tried to do with Wentz. He tried pretty much to start over again, to start from scratch, square one, make this offense basically vanilla ice cream for Wentz, when normally it's supposed to be the works. It's supposed to be Rocky Road. It's supposed to be Panda Paws. It's supposed to have everything in it, Neapolitan. And Doug, after the bye week, to make it easier and to kind of dumb it down for Wentz so he's not thinking as much, totally made this offense basic. In Carson Wentz the last 2 weeks against a Giants defense he should have carved up and normally does, and then this week against the Cleveland Browns, who they have a good defense, but I don't think they're nearly as good as their record shows at 7-3. In both of those games, with the training wheels on, he still could not execute. And even if he did, if Carson Wentz is not succeeding at his style of play, and that is the guy that's running around outside the pocket, making plays outside of structure, making plays with his legs, and down the field with his arm, being aggressive. If he can't succeed in that style, then I want a new quarterback. If the new Carson Wentz is somebody that has to be schemed up for success, like if he's going to be a Jared Goff to get the most out of him now, or a Jimmy Garoppolo, then I want a new quarterback. And so that's why I'm frustrated with the last 2 games is Doug tried to do that. He tried to make it easier for Wentz. He tried to make him his Goff, his Garoppolo, and really scheme up the success for Carson, because Wentz just hasn't been able to do it by himself like he normally has in the past. And he still was not able to execute in areas that it's really on him. I mean, you look at his adjusted completion percentage in different situations this year. Overall, 71% adjusted completion percentage. That's 28th this year of 30 qualifying quarterbacks, and this is per Pro Football Focus. In a clean pocket, so I mean, there's no excuses here. The offensive line's protecting you. I'm sure there's weapons open. In a clean pocket, 75% completion percentage this year. That's 29th in the league. When pressured, 58%. That's 26th. Deep ball percentage, 42% completion percentage adjusted down the field. 16th out of 23. He's not doing well in any individual area that you can only really blame Wentz for. In the areas where it's just on him, you know, you look at mechanics, especially accuracy, forcing plays when you shouldn't, things that are on him, knowing when to give up on a play and when to fight for more, he isn't doing well in those areas. And these stats are awful. The most interceptions this year of any quarterback, the most time sacked of any quarterback, the most fumbles. He also has the highest percentage of off-target throws. That's on him. That's not on Doug Peterson. Throwing the highest percentage of off-target throws, that's just on your mechanics. That's on your footwork. That's on your throwing motion. Sure, it can also be on pressure in your face, and maybe you're running around and you're having to do more with, you know, less to work with. But highest percentage of off-target throws in the league, I mean, the majority of that blame should go on Carson Wentz. And you also look at the areas where he was elite in the past, in the red zone, on third down, he isn't anymore. And so it's getting hard to, of course, you do understand why he's in the state he is in right now and why he's struggling. We'll get into that in segment 2. But the fact of the matter is that because of that, he is where he is now, and he is not a good enough quarterback. And so, again, you can blame Doug. You can blame Howie. You can blame every other factor, and I'll agree with you. You can blame the media. You can blame the fans for causing a huge distraction over the last 3 years. 100%. I think it's all valid. But especially the last 2 weeks, it's hard to defend Carson Wentz and continue to deflect the blame. The Eagles don't only have a head coach problem, a GM problem, a personnel problem, an injuries problem. They have a quarterback problem too now. And why that is? Yeah, we'll get into it. But the fact of the matter is now, regardless of why, Carson Wentz is not a good quarterback right now. And a lot of the reason is also on him. He deserves a lot of the blame, and it's tough. Especially the last 2 weeks have been really hard to see because of what the offense tried to do in turning him into a, you know, pocket passer, a system quarterback, and he couldn't even do that. So I'm, you know, for the first time, I'd say the last 2 weeks, I am very concerned that the Eagles might not be able to fix Carson, that he might be broken. And again, it's a four-year sample size versus 10 games, so I still am all in on trying to fix Wentz. I still think that's the Eagles' best course of action for their hopefully future success, but I'm nervous that we might have gone past the event horizon and we're falling into this black hole that could be a quarterback problem. Louis DiBiase joining you on the Locked On Eagles podcast. This is Wentz Wednesday, and it's sponsored by Echelon. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, you got rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. They're world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio level classes always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everybody, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. So my brothers, my parents, they're in on this as well. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness. Today's Locked On Eagles is also sponsored by Axon Taser. Protecting my family and your family, right? That's got to be the number one priority in your life, but you want to do it safely. The people at Taser believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection and devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse, yet they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns, they carry unnecessary risks for you and those around you, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as an attacker. It could do more harm than good, and it's often ineffective. Taser products are safer and easy to use. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your location upon firing. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with the Taser network of devices, apps, and personnel. The number one choice of law enforcement agencies. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. It's available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com. With the promo code NFL, you'll save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code NFL. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. This used to be a fun show to do when Carson Wentz was one of the best quarterbacks in football, and he's been for the majority of his career since he was drafted second overall in 2016, but right now he's broken. It looks like the Eagles broke him like the Indianapolis Colts broke Andrew Luck. And not to the point where Luck, you know, he had that one really bad year in 2015, kind of like Carson's having right now, but not to the point where like the Colts broke Luck in the sense that he was playing like Wentz is right now, but to the point where Andrew Luck wanted to retire, where they couldn't really protect him until the end of his career. And at that point, the injuries had just built up too much and he had lost the will to play, especially for the Colts. And now I don't know if Andrew Luck will ever come out of retirement. And you see the hole the Colts are in. They're a talented team, but they have Phillip Rivers as their quarterback. I can't imagine they're ever going to win a championship with that kind of play at quarterback. And so I just look at that, how the Colts just failed for years to build around Luck. And I look at the Eagles, and it's not without trying. Philadelphia, Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, they've invested everything they can into Wentz, right? They have drafted, they have signed a ton of wide receivers. They've built one of the best offensive lines in football over the past 5 years. They moved on from their Super Bowl MVP quarterback in Nick Foles, who also took them on a magical run in 2018. You know, they signed Wentz to this $100 million contract extension. They have shown that they're invested in Wentz, and they have done, and they drafted Miles Sanders in the second round. They've been aggressive with trading. They've done everything to try to surround Wentz. Of course, too, with Doug Peterson being an offensive-minded head coach, hiring Frank Reich in 2017, bringing in John DeFilippo. It's not without trying. This team has tried to build a great environment for Wentz. But really, when you look at it, I mean, none of it's worked. You look at his top receivers in his career, Nelson Aguilar has the most receptions from Wentz at the wide receiver position, and Alshon Jeffrey second. Like, those are his two best weapons ever. And then when you look at the top receivers for Wentz, number three is Jordan Matthews, and number four is Greg Ward, and number five is Travis Fulgham. So you look at that, and you look at all the injuries that he's had to deal with, Carson himself and the team on both sides of the football. You see, obviously, Nick Foles and that I mean, as much as it worked out for the Eagles in 2017 and in 2018, that was a massive distraction. You had anonymous sources talking off the field to the media badly about Carson behind his back. You look at the Eagles this year drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. You look at him getting cheap-shotted against Jadeveon Clowney in the playoffs last year, getting hurt the 2 years before that, right before a playoff run. You see all of this happening. And of course, the unforgiving nature of the Philadelphia fan base and the media market, and you see the national media know about that, and so they try to exploit that by constantly generating controversy within this Eagles organization at the quarterback position. I mean, just ask Donovan McNabb. This has been going for a long time now. But you just see all of these factors. And it's no wonder Carson Wentz finally caved into the pressure. He finally caved into the weight on his shoulders. He looks broken from the pressure he's had to deal with off the field and on the field. From, again, dealing with teammates talking bad about him, hit pieces being wrote about him, another quarterback taking your team on a championship run, having a statue built outside the stadium in his honor. Then the next year when you go down again, that quarterback takes him on a 5-1 run nearly to another NFC title game. And then last year, 2019, Wentz finally does that. He goes on a run of his own, hopefully getting all those doubts finally out of this building and this team. And yet the Eagles, what do? They take a quarterback, they add the fuel to this fire, this manufactured fire. Not all of it's manufactured, but a lot of it is. And the Eagles added gasoline to it by drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. And honestly, I feel like the Hurts pick was the final straw. Whereas the minute Wentz, in that second half of the Washington game, when things started to go bad and he started to struggle, because the first half, that was the Carson Wentz I saw in 2017. Wentz in the first half against Washington this year, that's the closest thing I've seen to Wentz 2017 form. But after that, the minute things went bad, it looked like it was just too much for Wentz to handle. And it just continued to stockpile week in and week out. And it was just too much for him to overcome. It's been too much for him to elevate. The injuries, the last 3 years, he's been able to overcome bad rosters and a ton of injuries. And again, all the distractions off the field. But now it looks like it's too much for him. And I get it. I mean, the guy's a human being. I couldn't deal with that amount of pressure at my job and still be expected to be a top five individual at my job. No way. And so it's totally understandable why he is in the situation that he's in right now. The pressure of everything I'm talking about just seems like too much to overcome. And I've never seen, even Andrew Luck did not have to go through what Carson Wentz has had to in his career with the Eagles. Again, Philadelphia is already a very unforgiving, passionate market. I don't want to, spin it as a negative, but sometimes it can be. So Philadelphia is already a highly scrutinized, highly covered football market, especially at quarterback. Again, you see McNabb and how bitter he is about what happened with him. And he went to 5 NFC title games and a Super Bowl. And so you see already Wentz was coming into a very high pressure environment. And then again, you see a backup win the Super Bowl for his team, and you see them draft another guy in the second round, and you see the timing of his injuries. And again, teammates talking bad about him when it wasn't justified, and all of this stuff. I mean, no wonder Wentz looks broken right now. It's understandable, but the fact of the matter is that he is. And so now you got to ask the question, is it salvageable? Can he fix it? Can he get back to the guy in 2018 and 2019 that, with all of this going on around him, could still thrive and could still be an incredible quarterback? Because that's the one thing I admire about Carson Wentz, and Jason Kelsey said it today, he never stops fighting. And when a lot of guys would have said, get me out of this situation, I demand a trade, I can't do it anymore, this is unfair for the level of talent that I am, for the level of success that I've had throughout my career here, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And Carson Wentz never did that. Even when teammates were talking crap about him, he put his head down, and last year he took another step in becoming one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And so, can he get back to that guy where he can always overcome these things and get back to elevating this team? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to do it until the team is ready to elevate him. Or maybe he can't do it in Philadelphia. Maybe he's got to be like Nelson Aguilar. He's got to do it somewhere else. But that's what I point to, because when you look at how bad he is now in areas where he used to be great, outside of structure, on third down, in the red zone, mechanically, when it comes to accuracy, when you look at all these things that he used to be elite at, and now he's struggling, Yeah, you can point to coaching, sure. You can point to personnel. You can point to injuries. It's all justified. But for me, the biggest thing I point to, I mean, a guy of Carson Wentz's talent, as good as he was in 2017, 2018, and 2019, that kind of player doesn't suddenly just forget how to play football and doesn't suddenly turn into this player we're seeing in 2020 without an insane amount of pressure that just is too much to overcome now. And that's what I think has happened with Wentz. Louis DiBiase joining you on Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And it's sponsored by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. Guys, it's a protein bar that tastes exactly like a candy bar. And, you know, for me, I really like the orange vanilla, the peanut butter brownie. It's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. 130 to 180 calories in every bar, 18 grams of protein in every bar. But they have awesome new flavors now, too. So beginning on Black Friday, they have their Dreaming of a White Christmas bar, introducing the all-new white chocolate bar. I think it's probably unpopular, but I actually like white chocolate and orange chocolate better than milk chocolate. That's probably a hot take, but I'm getting my hands on these Built bars that are white chocolate cookies and cream. 130 calories in the bars. And on Black Friday, they have a promo, 2 free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased. Go to BuiltBar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code to get an extra percent off. And the promo code is Locked On. Plus, you receive 1 free advent calendar with every purchase. Go to BuiltBar.com, get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to get an extra percent off. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday. Thank you guys for struggling through this episode. It's not fun to have to talk about Carson Wentz in this light, especially with a blown up voice right now. So I do apologize for my raspiness on the show. But we'll get through it. And, you know, I hope Carson Wentz can get through it because, again, it looks like he's broken. And from the pressure on and off the field that he's had to deal with since he was drafted second overall in 2016. And I think the Jalen Hurts pick was the final straw. I think it was the final thing that really did him in, and it was just too much to overcome. And so right now you have to ask the question, can you fix him? Or do you have to consider going to Jalen Hurts? Do you have to consider maybe changing your path long-term at this position and thinking maybe Carson Wentz is not the guy? And I think they're finally considering it, at least short term. Doug Peterson today in his press conference was not willing to commit to Carson Wentz as the starter on Monday against the Seahawks, really until he was asked like 3 different times. And my thoughts on that, I don't know. For me, I'm still in the long-term mode. Doug might want to do this, go with Jalen Hurts to save his own job next year and try to win the NFC East and show that once again, he can take another backup quarterback and turn him into a stud and make the postseason with him. So maybe it convinces the organization to prioritize Doug over Carson or Howie Roseman. But to me, if it was up to me, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman, I'm trying to do whatever it takes. I'm trying to do whatever's in the best interest of Wentz long-term, because I still believe for you to have the best chance at getting back to what you were as a team when you won the Super Bowl in 2017, I still think Carson Wentz gives you the best chance of getting back there. And maybe for that route, you do still bench Wentz. Maybe he needs to take a breath and take a step back like McNabb did in 2008 when against Baltimore, Andy Reid benched McNabb for Kevin Cobb. Maybe that is the route you have to take for Wentz long term. But for me, I hope they're not doing this, if they do it eventually this year, as a way to just save their own skin and win the worst division maybe in NFL history. I don't think that's the route they should take. And look, I like Jalen Hurts. I do. I think he could be a good player. And I think right now he could give you a nice, refreshing spark of energy. And I think he could play outside of structure and make a lot of plays. He is mobile. And I think he's got a good arm and he'll push the ball down the field. But to me, I don't think Jalen Hurts is the long-term answer. And so, I don't know. I still am not ready to give up on Carson Wentz, because as much as this 10-game sample size has been more than alarming, it is still only a 10-game sample size versus 4 other seasons. So I'm still trying to do whatever in the best interest to fix Carson Wentz. Maybe that is benching him for now, but maybe it's letting him ride out this season and, you know, tough it out against these really hard opponents. You know, but even though it's a tough opponent in Russell Wilson and the Seahawks have the worst passing defense in the league. So I'd like to think that Wentz could bounce back. But then again, I keep saying that every single week, so I'm not sure. But they are considering it, and that's crazy because I didn't think that Doug would be able to consider it even if he wanted to, because I thought Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman would not have signed off on it. But if they do, that might be a bad sign for Carson Wentz, that maybe, just maybe, they're rethinking him as the long-term answer. I'm not yet. I mean, I am. I'm questioning if he can get back to where he was, but at the same time, I'm not questioning what would be my decision to still try to fix him. And so we'll see what they try to do. It's a tough situation to be in because, again, you see these three guys in Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, and Carson Wentz, and you see how badly they're struggling and how insanely inconsistent they've been since they won the Super Bowl. And you would want to make a move probably eventually if they don't get back to that form. But I would hate to be Jeffrey Lurie and have to make this decision, whatever it is, in the offseason, because again, you still see glimpses of that greatness in all three staples. And Lurie's going to have his hands full, and especially with Carson Wentz, I think that's the hardest call to make because he's such a special talent, and you've invested so much time and resources into the kid, and you got to see that through and hope that he can get back to what he used to be. I think that's still their best bet. Instead of trying to see what Jalen Hurts is long-term, instead of drafting Trey Lance maybe this year or Zach Wilson, which could happen if the Eagles don't win the division, they could be in a position to pick one of those top four quarterbacks, not Trevor Lawrence, but maybe Justin Fields, maybe another North Dakota State kid in Trey Lance, maybe Zach Wilson. But I still think long-term, which is what my priority is right now, I still think Wentz is your best bet to get back to what you were, and that was a great football team. But right now, you're not a great football team. You don't have a great quarterback. You don't even have a good quarterback. Right now, Carson Wentz is a very bad quarterback, and I hope that he can change our minds before it's too late, because I've never rooted for a guy more in this organization than Wentz. Seeing what he's gone through in the first 5 years of his career and seeing him overcome it and be the incredible player we've seen, it's inspiring, and it's kind of a tragic story right now to see all that pressure finally caving in on him, and I hope he can find a way to get over it. Louis DiBiase joining you on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into Wentz Wednesday. We're going to take off tomorrow. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back on Friday. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform and follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at DiBiase, LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.